And in your Bibles, will you turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, and we'll commence to read at verse 9. We've been in the series, Our Lord's Prayer, for a long time, longer than I had first planned. Cherith, good to see you back from Bradford. Cherith left in August when I started this series. She's probably sitting here this morning thinking, is he still there? Still going through this? But the more I've studied it, there's just so much in it, so much great teaching and challenges for our hearts as well. So let's prepare our hearts as we listen once again to this passage on the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, commencing to read at verse 9. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Amen. Now, last year saw the release of the Disney film Frozen. Hands up if you've seen it. Quite a few people. It is the highest grossing animated film of all time. It is popular all across the world. It is popular with all different ages, and it is extremely popular in the Lawther household. And I will confess, it's not just the girls who have seen it. I've seen it on a number of occasions as well. Its success is a combination of a number of different factors. There's a great storyline. There's likable characters, and there are very catchy songs to sing along with as well. And the most famous, the most popular song from the film Frozen is called Let It Go. It won the Oscar at this year's Oscar for the best soundtrack or best song from a film. What has that got to do with the Lord's Prayer is probably what you're sitting there thinking. But last week, we thought about this word here. We thought about the word forgiveness. Forgive us our debts. The word forgive, as it appears in the Lord's Prayer, is taken from a Greek term. And the Greek term actually means to let go. That's what forgiveness is all about. Let it go. We've got to grasp this truth all about forgiveness. We all need to ask God for forgiveness. We thought about this last week. We have this vast debt. A vast debt that's spiraling out of control every single day as we live here on earth, and the more wrong things we do against God. But praise God that our God is a God of forgiveness. And he offers us forgiveness. And this forgiveness that God offers us is possible because what Jesus Christ did, his death on the cross, taking the punishment for our sins. And so when we come to God, and when we seek this word here, when we seek forgiveness, God lets it go. Our sins, he takes them away. So the Bible says he chooses to remember them no more. As far as the east is from the west, that's how he separates them. He just lets them go. He wipes them out. He doesn't hold on to our sins. He doesn't store them and say, I've forgiven them, but I'll just put them in my back pocket and just keep them to bring them up against you at some later time. Maybe when you stumble and fall in the future, I'll remind you of those wrong things you've done. I'll make you feel guilty about those things again. God doesn't do that. He lets it go. People are prone to do that, aren't we? Somebody does something wrong against us. Maybe they come to us and they seek our forgiveness and we agree, say, I forgive you. But we don't let it go. We let it harbor there in our hearts. We let it fester away in the back of our mind. And maybe that person, maybe a spouse, maybe a child, maybe a work colleague will do something else at another time, and you bring that past sin up against them again, and you make them feel guilty. And if you never let it go, forgiveness just becomes meaningless, has no value whatsoever. God is not like that. God is a God of real forgiveness. Romans 8, verse 1 says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When you come to Christ, asking forgiveness through Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. You have been set free completely. It will never be brought up against you. Remember that time you did that? Remember you thought that? Remember you went to that place? Remember you said those words? No, there's no condemnation. Probably one of the most popular hymns at the moment is the Getty song with Stuart Townsend, In Christ Alone. And the final verse of that song says, there is no guilt in life, no fear in death. We don't need, if we've come to Christ, to have any guilt. Why? Because Christ, God has forgiven us. He's let it go. There's no need for us to feel any guilt. We all need to come to God and seek his forgiveness. That's why the Lord's Prayer teaches us to pray and forgive us our debts. But there's a second part to verse 12. Look at the second part. As we also have forgiven our debtors. As we also have forgiven our debtors. Because it's not only us who sin, and we sin against God, and ultimately all sin is against God. Everything we do, even if we hurt a neighbor, or we offend a spouse, or do something cruel to a child, that sin is ultimately against God. But it's not only us who sin against God, and we sin against other people. In this fallen world, there are other people who sin against us. They do wrong things. And often it's the people who are closest to us, and that's why it hurts the most. Maybe it's the spouse who says some hurtful words. Maybe it's the child who's continually disobedient. Maybe it's a parent who hasn't shown us the affection that we deserve or need as a child. Maybe it's a work colleague who spread a rumor about you. Maybe it's a boss who treats you in a harsh way. Maybe it's a member of this church, a member who's ignored you deliberately. Maybe it's a member of this church who's broken a confidence and they've hurt you badly. We all have debtors. We've all people who have done wrong things against us. There's people who need to come to us and ask for our forgiveness. What's your attitude to people like that? What's my attitude? When somebody does something wrong against us, the Bible's very clear about what our attitude should be. We must be willing to forgive people the wrong that they do against us, no matter how serious, no matter how hurtful. And failure to forgive people who are seeking our forgiveness has serious consequences. So serious that this is the only petition in the Lord's Prayer that comes with appendix. There's extra verses added on to give us more detail. All the rest of these six petitions that we've been studying in the Lord's Prayer just have a line of their own. This one gets some extra verses added on at the end of the prayer. Let's look at verses 14 and 15 for further explanation. So at the end of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says these words, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you, but," and let's take note of this, "but if we do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Let's read that again. "But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." This is very clear, and this is very, very serious. If we fail to forgive somebody who's seeking our forgiveness, maybe a spouse, a child, a colleague, another church member, our Father will not forgive us the wrong that we have done as well. Unforgiveness is unforgivable. I don't know if the word unforgiveness is actually a word, but you get the point. Unforgiveness is unforgivable. And why is it unforgivable? Because it's the very opposite of the heart of God. And if you're behaving in a way that is completely opposite to God's heart, you cannot call yourself a child of God. We have all committed horrible sins. We have all done wrong things against the holy and a perfect God. We have sinned in every kind of way. We've sinned in word, in thought, and deed. We have sinned in the things that we've said, the cruel words we've spoken to people, the things that have come out of our mouth. We've sinned in our thought life, the anger that has gone through there, the pride, the lustful thoughts, all those things that have gone through our mind. We've sinned in our deeds, the things we've gone, the things our hands have done, our feet have done. We have this huge debt against a holy and righteous God, and yet the Father's heart is one of love for people like us. He loves us. Romans 5, verse 8 says, God demonstrates, God shows his love to us in this, while we were still sinners. With this huge debt, Christ died for us. He died for us, and he offers us forgiveness. It's like having a debt of £1 billion. We owe God, say, £1 billion. It's beyond our comprehension. And when we come to God, he says, let it go. It's all been forgiven. But it's much better than that. Because it's not as if God just lets the debt go. He actually gives us something even better in its place. He forgives us of our debt, but he gives us incredible riches. Incredible spiritual riches. He adopts us into his family. He makes us heir, co-heirs with Christ to all the spiritual riches. It's not just the case of he forgives us, but he gives us all these incredible blessings as well. And that is the gospel. That's the gospel message. We don't deserve it. It's not like the bonus at the end of year in work, where you come to your boss and say, I deserve to be paid something extra because I've worked really hard. My performance has been great. No. We have nothing to deserve it. The Bible says that when we come to God, we have nothing to put on the table to impress him. It says all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. They're just fit for the bin. And yet Christ has done more for us than we could ever ask and imagine. That's what grace is. And that's why it's called amazing. Grace is amazing because it's beyond our comprehension what a loving, forgiving God does for us. But if a person sins against us and they ask us for forgiveness and we say, no, there is no way I'm going to let this go. There is no way I'm going to forgive you. The pain that you've caused me is just too great. What you've done against me is unforgivable. If you continually hold a grudge, if you constantly bring these things up, what does it prove? It proves that you fail to grasp the gospel. It proves that you fail to grasp God's heart and God's love for us. The gospel has not touched your heart. No matter what somebody has done for you, no matter how painful, no matter how hurtful it is only small in comparison about what God has forgiven us for. And our actions and the way we forgive people or not is proof whether we have understood and grasped the heart of God, if we've grasped the gospel. Jesus wanted to make this point clear. In fact, he wanted to make it so clear, he told a story all about it. A parable further on in Matthew's gospel. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18, we'll read from verse 21. This is the parable of the unforgiving servant. Matthew 18 and verse 21. Let's listen to God's word. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. The point he's making there is, no matter how many times somebody comes and asks for forgiveness, just keep on forgiving them. But then he goes to tell the story. Verse 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. It's a story of a man who owed a huge debt, 10,000 talents. That means nothing to us. In today's money, that would be the equivalent of £5 million. He owed £5 million to the king. No way a servant could pay a debt like that. And he comes to the king, he comes to his master, and he begs for mercy. And what does he find? He finds a master with a compassionate heart. And the master says, let it go. He forgives him of the debt. But a little while later, he meets a fellow servant. And this fellow servant owes him a debt, 100 denarii. In today's money, that's 10 pounds. That's an equivalent. So here's a man who's been forgiven 5 million pounds, and he comes across somebody who owes him only 10 pounds. He says, pay me that debt. The fellow servant actually says the same words to him that he had used with the king, and yet he finds no mercy. Throws him into jail. And when the king hears about this, what's his reaction? He's furious. He's furious with this unforgiving servant, and he throws him into jail to be punished. See, the story ends with the king treating this man as he deserves, with justice. Not with forgiveness, but with fury. And the point of the parable is very clearly spelled out in verse 35. Look at verse 35 again. Jesus said, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. God says not to forgive is unforgivable. Why? Why does God make these points? Well, the ability to forgive other people, even when they've hurt us deeply, even when they've caused us lots of pain, is proof that we have received God's grace in our life. Our ability to forgive other people is evidence that God's love has penetrated deep into our lives. Our ability to forgive is evidence that we really are God's children. Because as God's children, we'll increasingly act more like our Father. And that's the way our Father has treated us. And to fail to forgive shows that we have no understanding of the gospel. These are serious words. These are challenging words. These are words that we need to take and we need to examine our own lives and our own hearts as well. Let me quickly take you through three quick lessons about forgiveness as we think about this passage. Here's the first one. Forgiveness needs to be sought. Forgiveness needs to be sought. Forgiveness always starts with repentance. Who does God forgive? We take that prayer, forgive us our debts. Who does God forgive? Does he forgive everybody? Everybody in here on planet Earth will receive forgiveness from God. Will everybody be in heaven ultimately? The Bible doesn't teach that. Will everybody be declared righteous? No, who receives forgiveness from a loving, gracious, heavenly Father? The people who seek forgiveness are those who humbly seek it. Those who come to a Father and admit that they've got a huge debt, that they've sinned against a holy and a righteous God, and they cry out for mercy. The Lord's Prayer teaches us to pray, forgive us our debts. In the parable of the unforgiving servant, who was it that the king forgave? He forgave somebody who came and asked for his forgiveness. Somebody who came and asked for mercy. Look at these words here from Luke chapter 17. Again, these are words that Jesus taught to his followers. He says, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. Point out the error of his way. And if he repents, if he comes to you seeking forgiveness, what's our reaction? We forgive him. Forgiveness is something that needs to be sought. We all need to seek forgiveness. What about in our own lives? All our sin ultimately is against God. And we need to seek forgiveness from God. We also need to seek forgiveness from other people. Maybe it's our spouse. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a colleague. Maybe somebody else sitting even in this room this morning. Maybe you've sat deliberately at the other side of the church because you wanted to avoid somebody. Somebody who you need to seek forgiveness from. Because unconfessed sin breaks relationships. Unconfessed sin always breaks relationships. It breaks relationship with our Heavenly Father. And it breaks relationship with other people. And so we need to examine our own hearts. Have we done wrong against God? Have we done wrong against other people? And we need to seek forgiveness. Maybe for some of you here this morning, you need to come to God for the first time and seek forgiveness. Forgiveness for salvation. Come to a loving, gracious Father who's compassionate and will give you that forgiveness if you bow the knee and humbly come to him and say, I have a huge debt. I've done wrong against you. Please forgive me. But maybe you also need to come to other people. Somebody you've hurt, somebody you've wronged, and you need to seek forgiveness. Forgiveness is something that we need to seek. It needs to be sought. But here's the second lesson. Forgiveness must be given. When somebody comes to you, when somebody has wronged you, and they come asking forgiveness, don't withhold it. Does God ever say no? Has there ever been a person who's humbly come to God and said, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner? And God said no. Your sin is too vile. What you did against me was too great. I'm not going to forgive you. Lots of people are forgiven, but you've just gone too far. You've just crossed a line which is unforgivable. No, there is no sin which is too great for a loving, forgiving Heavenly Father. And so by us forgiving those who are seeking forgiveness from us, we imitate our Heavenly Father. We prove that the love of Christ is actually in our hearts, and we really are God's children. So let's all this morning examine our hearts. Are we holding back any forgiveness from a family member, somebody in this church, maybe somebody we haven't spoken to for months or years deliberately? Perhaps somebody came to you at one stage and said, I've done something dreadful against you. Will you forgive me? And you've muttered words with your mouth and said, yeah, I'll just forget about it. Doesn't matter anymore. But deep down in your heart, it does matter. And it's still there. And you've never let it go. It's still brewing away. And the bitterness and the anguish is still there. It's eating away inside you. You might have said words with your mouth, but you've never fully forgiven in your heart. What you need to realize this morning is what Christ did for you and how he forgave you completely of all the wrong things you've done. You need to meditate on this warning that we have in verse 15 of the Lord's Prayer. Look at Matthew 6, verse 15 again. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. George Herbert was a famous English poet from the 16th century. He said these words, "He that cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he himself must pass if he would ever reach heaven. For everyone has need to be forgiven. He that cannot forgive others breaks the bridge which he himself must pass." If you're unable to forgive others, you cannot expect the Father to be willing to forgive you. It's a major hindrance to blessing, I believe, in the lives of churches. A major hindrance to blessing in people's families and personal lives. Unforgiveness, an unforgiving heart. And so we need to deal with this. And we need to examine our hearts and deal with this today. Maybe you need to confess sin to God that you have not forgiven people. Maybe you need to go and speak to somebody and say, I've held a grudge against you. And I've made you feel guilty. And I've never forgiven you. You sought my forgiveness and I held on to it and the relationship's been broken. Maybe you need to let go of that annoyance and that bitterness, that hatred and that revenge which is bubbling up inside you. You need to seek God's help for that this morning. Sometimes people say, well, what about the people who don't ask? It's a hard one, isn't it? What's your attitude be? Because we're talking here this morning about people who come to us and say, I've done wrong. They own up to it. They seek and they repent and they seek forgiveness from you. Okay, sometimes that's difficult to forgive those people. What about people who've done wrong things against you? Work colleagues or other people out there that have done wrong things and haven't even realized the hurt they've caused you. Or they have realized, but they couldn't care. In fact, they probably enjoyed the pain that they caused you. What's your attitude to people who don't seek forgiveness? Well, what we need to realize is that biblically, there's no real forgiveness without repentance. God forgives those who seek his forgiveness through repentance. But what is our attitude? Because those things can fester away inside our heart and in our life as well. Well, let's look back to this verse in Luke 17. If your brother sins, somebody against you, rebuke them. Point out the hurt that they've caused you. Point out their sin. And sometimes we need to do that with people. We need to point out, you've caused me a lot of hurt there. The things that you did were wrong. And you need to Rebuke them so that they can be corrected as well. But even with that, often that doesn't make a difference. So what is our attitude? Because those things can fester away in our hearts. Those things can destroy us as people. Where do we look? Where do we turn to? Well, we turn to the ultimate example. We turn to the perfect example. We turn to Jesus Christ. And let's think about Jesus Christ as he hung on the cross. As Jesus Christ hung on the cross, those soldiers did horrible things to him. Those soldiers did things that we might consider as unforgivable. As they spat on the very Son of God, as they ripped the beard from his face, as they thrust that thorn of crowns on his head, as they nailed him to a cross, as they mocked him, as they ridiculed the very Son of God. And what was Christ's attitude as he hung on the cross? Was it one of bitterness? Was it one of anger towards these people? These people who were doing horrible things to him, and they never sought his forgiveness. They never put their hands up and said, "We're sorry for the wrong things we're doing to you." What was his attitude? He prayed for them. And even as he hung on the cross, he prayed for them and he prayed for their soul. He said, "Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Have mercy on these people." And that needs to be our perfect example as well. There are people who will do wrong things against us. They never seek our forgiveness. What's our attitude? Let's pray for these people. Let's pray for them. Pray for their soul. Pray that God would do a work in their heart and in their life as well. Don't have an attitude of bitterness or desire for revenge. Get your equal with these people. Pray that they would know real forgiveness. But here's another truth, a lesson, a final lesson from this topic on forgiveness. This is the reality. Forgiveness is often difficult, isn't it? We're talking about biblical truths. We're not claiming that these things are easy. It's often very, very difficult because we've been hurt deeply. And we've often been hurt deeply by those who have been closest to us. Forgiveness is not natural to us, is it? Do you know what our natural reaction is? My natural reaction is revenge because that's my sinful heart. It's revenge. Forgiveness doesn't come naturally. It's not a natural thing for us. But Christians, we don't forgive because it's easy. We forgive because it's commanded. We don't forgive because it's easy. We forgive because it has been commanded. We can forgive because God, our Heavenly Father, forgave us in Christ Jesus. And our heart has been touched and worn by his love and his grace. And our God gives us the strength. And he gives us the grace to be able to forgive other people. And this is something we need to pray about. We need to pray that God would give us the grace and the strength to be able to forgive those who have hurt us and harmed us as well. David Livingstone was a famous missionary from many, many years ago. And when he was working in Africa, he came across a lot of opposition. People who slandered him. People who gave him a hard time. People who really ran his character down with lies and made-up stories. And 20 years after this, these horrible things happened, somebody asked him how he coped with it. This is what he said. "I often think I have forgiven, but the remembrance of the slander often comes boiling up. 20 years after it happened, it boils up inside me." So here's what he said to the people asking. "You must remember me in your prayers that more of the Spirit of Christ may be imparted to me." Forgiveness isn't always easy. And often that anger boils up in us. So we must remember to pray. Pray for ourselves and pray for each other as well. That more of the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit that Christ displayed on the cross, may be imparted to me. It's not always easy. But there's help and there's strength that comes through our Heavenly Father. The word forgiveness means let it go. It's easy to sing it if it's a Disney song, isn't it? It's a lot harder to do in real life. We need God's help for this. We need God's help to enable us to pray, "Father, forgive us our debts." But we also need God's help so we can help to pray and forgive other people as well. May God help us. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for the challenge of your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace, where you're able and willing to forgive us all that we have done. No matter how big or how vast our debt towards you is, your heart is one of compassion. And you will forgive us if we seek forgiveness from you. And we pray that once our lives have been touched by the gospel, that we might live like Christ, that we might have that attitude to forgive others who have hurt us and harmed us. We know that's not easy. We know that that's often difficult. And so we need your strength. And we need your Holy Spirit working in our hearts and our lives, taking away the anger and the bitterness and the annoyance and all those sinful attitudes that linger in our heart. Strip those away and replace them with a heart like Christ, a heart that's ready to forgive and is able to forgive. We pray for this congregation here this morning, for those who need to seek forgiveness. Help them to seek it and to find it. We pray for those who need to be willing to forgive people who've hurt them. And they're finding it difficult. They're struggling with that. We pray that you give them the grace and the strength. I pray you bless them through doing it. And we thank you just for the great truths of Scripture. Help us not only be hearers of your word, but doers also. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen.